1 second, please.
Please, Mr. Kennedy.
Uh-oh.
I don't wanna go.
Don't show me in the outer space.
Oh, please, Mr. Kennedy.
Uh-oh.
I don't wanna go.
Don't show me in the outer space.
I sweat when they stuff me in the pressure suits. Bubble helmet, dashboard, and boots. Nowhere up there.
Outer?
In gravity
space.
Zero. I need to breathe.
Outer?
Don't need to be a hero.
Space.
Reading me loud and clear, roll.
This is It Happened 1 Year, a look back at the events, big and small, famed and forgotten, from
1984.
Hey, everybody.
We're doing it again.
Welcome to the show. I'm glad you're so committed.
I'm very committed.
Welcome to the show. It happened 1 year.
1984.
Yep. I'm Joe.
Oh, I'm Sarah.
Ah, didn't see that one
no,
coming, did
I
you?
I always get thrown by our names.
It's never, it's not something we have looped into the routine of things.
Our names.
I feel like every once in a while we just add stuff. Because you go back and listen to the early episodes, we didn't even say that stuff. I don't even know what we said. We were just kind of like, showtime? And we were just trying to, boom goes the dynamite. Like, we're just trying
just
out
talking.
Catchphrases.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yeah. 1994, here we go. It's Shack Town. We didn't know what we were saying.
I don't think we sounded like that.
We did. I think we were, because we were younger back then.
We were.
Hey, guys. Welcome to the program.
These 2 years have really aged us.
Yeah. They really have. I look at this face and I'm like, 10 years gone. Well, here
Thanks,
we are.
Show.
Yeah, I think it happened 1 year.
Yeah.
If I had to blame one thing, it happened 1 year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We started the show in 2020 and...
2021.
2021. And the only thing bad that has happened since then, obviously, is the show.
Nothing
else. No.
Everything else has just been perfect.
Perfect.
Clockwork. Masterpiece. Yeah. Life has just barreled forward at...
sunshine and roses.
Beautiful rate.
Yep.
And, it's beautiful. We had the most beautiful show.
Oh, my God.
Beautiful
Why
rate.
Are you doing a Trump impression?
We were just saying about how we should start doing everything as impressions.
Mm.
Just... tonight's episode, where we're going to talk about theoretical space, I would like to see Sarah do the entire thing as Rod Roddy. I think that'd be fun. So, you know.
I mean, I think this is only a plausible plan if you are doing impressions. I think you know, impressions, not my strong suit.
I think you can do, like, a voice for a line. But as far as, like, an impression or an accent, that's not for you.
Yeah.
No. We're going to try this out. I think going forward, we got some scripted stuff coming up where you're going to need to dig into the old bag of tricks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to tell a story and you can cut it, but if you want to.
Yeah.
But speaking of me doing impressions, I was at work yesterday and my coworkers and I tried to go after work to the bar in the building that we work in, right? But it was closed for a private event. So we walked around it and there was a table full of name tags. And I said, we should just steal some name tags and grab them.
Yeah.
And they turned to me and said to a person, Sarah, you're not going to be capable of doing that. And I was like, what? I could be Patty, and I could be like, hello, what's going on, guys? And they all were like, why are you doing a voice?
Because it's your one voice.
Yeah, it's the one voice I could do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were, coming soon. I actually don't know when this episode's coming out.
Yeah.
Coming soon or
previously.
What was just out in December, we have a scripted episode coming up, and we had to do some background lines. You get behind the curtain of how the sausage gets made.
Yeah.
We had to do some background lines for just the open mall. And so I was saying to Sarah how to, like, you know, these are the lines I need. And she would say them. And I was like, okay, but you're already playing a part in the show, so you got to make it a little different. And she has one other voice, so she did them as that voice.
Yes.
And then I would be like, but now try to do it as a woman. And she's like, but I am a woman. I was like, yeah, but all your lines don't come off that way.
And then I would be like, hey, guys, what's going on?
Yeah.
Like, it was, it's not capable.
It's remarkable you only have your voice.
I do. Yeah. That's the only voice I have.
That's it.
Yeah.
Insane.
Yeah, that's all I got.
Well, let's revisit this at the end of the show.
Yeah.
We're gonna go through a bunch of accents and just keep that in mind.
You're welcome, listeners.
Just to get you stressed.
I'm ready. Yeah. I'm very anxious. But that's not what we're here to talk about today.
No, much like how I would like to believe Sarah can do voices, there are also concepts of theoretical space that we're gonna tackle. And they are 1984 based.
They are. That was a great segue.
I kind of. It's just that this isn't a science show. And what would, like, if you had to even point back to other episodes, what have we done that's science related? Do we have science episodes? We must have something. Tech or something?
I feel like we've touched on tech. I don't know that we've had full tech episodes.
Yeah.
But 1994 was like the start of the internet. We had a little bit of that.
Kinda.
But.
Because we did, like, Yahoo was founded and Kevin Mitnick and that whole story.
Yep.
And then in 67, I know we did the Outer Space Treaty, but that's not that's space. That's not really tech either. That's just a treaty that said we can't fight war in space.
And our episode today isn't really about tech. It is straight up science.
Hard science.
Yeah.
But again, theoretical science.
Theoretical science, right. Like, I've always considered myself a science-y person, but I am a, like, I always excelled in biology. I did terribly in chemistry when I was in school.
Yeah.
I never even took physics. Because I kept taking biology.
Oh.
Like, I would take different versions of biology, and then I went to school for psychology, right? Which is science-ish.
Yeah.
It's science.
You have a science degree.
I have a science degree.
Yeah.
I have multiple science degrees, I would say. But this kind of science is not my vibe.
No.
I sometimes think about the fact that, theoretically, the universe never ends, and I can't do it.
Yeah.
I can't think about... I don't know... I don't know what that means. I can't.
So it's like that bit in Annie Hall when he's the kid and he goes to the doctor and he's just worried because the universe is expanding.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's it?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's you all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I get it. I'm not a science person.
No. Nope.
I never even took chemistry. My high school, you know, run was very much like I tried to do as little science as possible.
Yeah.
And thus... I, you know, I have arts degrees.
Yeah. When we play Trivial Pursuit, I always, almost always use science as your last category. Yeah.
Science is my Achilles heel. I can eventually get one, but it's tough. Yeah. That's how the games usually end. I'm picking sports because Sarah's not great with sports and I'm not great with science.
And that's why all of our games are like 6-5 Joe, 6-6 Joe, 6-4 Joe.
Because every once in a while I can get science, but Sarah really needs just the right sports question. Yeah. It's always like Wayne Gretzky. It's not always Wayne Gretzky. The answer to all of life's questions is not always Wayne Gretzky.
Disagree.
Yeah. So the two things we are going to talk about, and we're going to talk about them in a very high level, and there will be no questions. We are accepting no questions about these. In 1984, there was a theory that was postulated called the Nemesis Star Theory.
Okay.
And that's what I'm going to talk about.
Wow.
I'm tackling the Nemesis Star Theory,
yeah.
also known as the Death Star Theory,
yeah.
which that's fun, right?
Yeah.
1984, we're right on the heels of Return of the Jedi when the second Death Star was destroyed.
Yeah.
And this Death Star might not even exist.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, what is the Nemesis Star? Idea... No, I'm going to tell you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know. I didn't look it up.
No, yeah. The idea is that there's a cloud, a theoretical cloud, that's like 200,000 light years from the sun.
Oh, okay.
Far
away.
Yeah, real
long
far
trip.
Away. Yeah. And this cloud is apparently filled with... I don't know, comets and meteors and all sorts of other
Got
things.
It.
And that's this cloud.
Yeah.
It's called like the Oost cloud. It's named after like a Finnish guy or something or a Swedish guy. Yeah, it's the Oost cloud, right? And so this is filled with all of these items, right? But they were trying to, so the basic idea behind this theory was built off the back of another theory called like the Shiva conundrum or something like that. It sounds like a Clive Cussler science fiction book.
Yeah.
Like it's, you know. But that theory is like trying to explain why extinction level events happen.
Sure.
Like every in such a
and they do.
Period of time. They do. Every it seems like 26 million years the Earth goes extinct because something hits it, basically.
Yeah.
So in the late 70s and the early 80s, they tried to come up with these theories. The Shiva theory basically said that the cause of this could be because of the way that our galaxy moves across the Milky Way plane or something like that. And that the way that they interact creates these events in some they tried to like postulate that it was happening in a set interval of time that it was 26 million years based on fossils or something like that they were trying to actually say that but this other theory came along saying that it was something more specific that it wasn't just generally how the sun and the galaxy is moving across the plane it's a specific thing and what they refer to as the Nemesis Star or the Death Star And it's that there's this one planet, this one star, that is in this binary relationship with the sun. Uh-huh. It's also very, it's in the Oost cloud, so it's very far away.
Oh, it's in the Oost cloud.
It's in the cloud.
Yeah.
But the idea is where the Oost cloud is also theoretical, but like comets and stuff do enter the enter the galaxy. And I always just thought of it as like Halley's Comet, like it's just in an orbit somewhere, right? But every once in a while they collide with things. And I just kind of always thought it was just some...
Yeah. Free-flowing
hunk
rocks.
Of something flying across space, right?
Sure.
But everything is, you know, tied up in orbits and whatnot. Gravity, you know?
Yeah.
Gravity.
You know. I've heard of it.
Yeah. So out there in the Oost cloud,
The Oost cloud?
Yeah, I think it's actually the Oort cloud.
Oort.
It's O-O-R-T.
Oh.
I'm sorry to that man.
I don't know that man.
Dave Oort. I don't know. But it's named after him. But out in that cloud, with all of these things, the idea is that the Nemesis star is out there.
Yeah.
And it's that it's actually, because it's in the cloud, it's affecting the stuff in the cloud and sending it rocketing into our galaxy, into our solar system.
So it's actively trying to kill us.
Right. That it's actually either colliding or it's creating little orbits that's spinning these things off and flying them in. It's not just that, like, because the sun is our galaxy is moving.
Yeah.
And then stuff is getting drawn in.
Yeah.
This thing is actually causing this.
Yeah.
Right? Because they're kind of saying, well, why is it happening? Why is it happening in these set intervals of time?
Yeah.
And this was the theory that was created in 1984. Most subsequent research has said they can't find it. But the thing is that it's so far away.
No kidding, they can't find it. It's 200 million light years away?
200,000 light years
200,000,
away.
200,000, yeah. Well, that's
less. So the idea is they think it's either a red dwarf star, which are very small.
Yes.
And can't be seen with the naked eye. None of the stars we see, apparently, are red dwarf stars.
Sure.
But it's either that, or it's a brown dwarf star, which are huge.
Yeah.
But neither of these things can be seen because they're so far away.
Yeah.
But you can see brown dwarf stars with the naked eye, apparently. They're bigger than planets. They're these great big stars.
Yeah.
No matter how far away. The red dwarf stars you can.
Yeah.
But the idea is that, you know, if they used, like, infrared technology or something to even be able to see these at all.
Yeah.
In the years since 1984, they would have seen it by now, or they would have been able to spot it.
Yep.
Even though the vastness of the night sky and whatnot.
That seems insane.
Yeah. I don't know who's spending this kind of time and what they're doing, but.
Get a hobby.
I assume it's Oort. I mean, who else is, you know. So there's been they haven't been able to prove that this actually exists,
yeah.
But they also haven't been able to prove that it hasn't.
Okay.
It's just that through looking at fossils and whatnot,
yeah.
They've said that it might not exactly be the same set interval of time. It might be more like 27 million years, which sounds close, but that's still a million year difference.
Yeah, it's a long time.
That's a pretty big difference. Yeah. So they don't actually know.
Yeah.
But I think it's fun. I think it's fun because they've decided to name it fun, right? Like, there's the Shiva version, which is the destroyer of worlds, right? And then there's also the Death Star version, which is also fun.
Yeah.
And so at least they have, like, a light sense of humor about
it. I feel like they should have named the Nemesis Star after an actual nemesis. Mm. Like, name it Darth Vader, name it, you know, something.
Goliath.
Yeah.
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 Thank you for choosing the Bible story while I chose Star Wars.
I mean, they could just name it after a bad guy, the Freddy Krueger star. Right? Yeah. No, I think it's, you know, I just think it's fun. And I'm glad that they did it.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, it's theoretical space, right? So
combining all of your knowledge of theoretical space science.
Everything I've read tonight.
Everything that you know.
Yeah.
Give me your odds. Is this true?
Nemesis star.
Yeah.
So far as I can tell, I would say that in my very limited and, again, arts background, it would be cool as hell if it exists, right? Just dramatically speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's say the sun
is
you know, Bob. That's the sun.
Why are we naming the sun?
Because then you've got his nemesis.
Yeah.
Who's so far away,
but
it's still affecting everything. And his nemesis hates him. And that guy's name is Doug. And so Doug is like way out in the distance.
Yeah.
And he's too close to grab Bob by the throat and just punch him.
Yeah.
So instead, he's hurling rockets at him from hundreds of thousands of light years away. But every once in a while, because of the way things work, the Earth just gets in the way.
Yeah.
Right? Earth, who's, I don't know, Bob's girlfriend.
We're Bob's girlfriend in this scenario?
Yeah, all of us. We're all Sally, Bob's girlfriend here on Earth. And so that's the thing. Doug. Yeah. Trying to get at Bob, because I don't know, they had a fight when they were kids.
Yeah.
They were fighting over, like, a nebula.
Sure.
And they were both pulling, give me my nebula. And then, it fell apart.
Yeah.
And they were flung so far apart. And so just to remind Bob that he's still there and still hates him, hurling rockets.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, Sally gets one in the kisser. That's it.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. And I think that's nice.
So
I would say the odds are, from what I've read, very small. But it's kind of like there's also no way to prove it kind of either way. So it's kind of like, well.
So are the odds very small and also almost certain?
Yeah. It's almost a definite certainty and a complete impossibility
at love
the same
it.
Time.
I love
I'd say one in a million or one in five.
Science.
So very close.
I have a slightly different theory based on your analogy.
Yeah.
So in your analogy, the nemesis star is Doug.
Mm-hmm.
Doug's a lot like dog. Dog backwards, God. So is the nemesis star God? I don't believe in God. But is the nemesis star God?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that this actually still works because Bob backwards is still Bob. And so God hates Bob. hurling Calmets at him.
That's a great point.
Yeah. So it's like the story of Job, except instead of Job, Bob.
Sorry about Bob's girlfriend, Yulass.
We are all Yulass. I got Yulass to spare, is the problem. So that, of course, is the complete...
That's wonderful.
That's a... You don't even... Don't look any of that up. Don't check, back-check anything. That's 100% true.
Listeners, don't send us questions.
No questions.
But if you know them, send us answers if we got it wrong.
If you have some theoretical science background and you know... Was anything that we just said true? Let us know. But that's my end of the science corner, and I don't want to talk anymore.
Love it.
Because I got an arts degree.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and stay in space for a little bit.
Get out of here.
And I'm going to talk about some other stuff that happened in 1984.
Space-wise.
Dear to my heart, NASA had created this project.
NASA in the Bahamas.
No, that's NASA.
Oh.
I meant NASA.
NASA.
No, that was NASA.
Yeah.
NASA.
Right?
NASA?
Like Abdel Nasser. He was the leader of Egypt?
No, I feel like I'm saying NASA with like a weird accent.
Ooh, you're doing accents again.
Oh, no.
I'd like to talk about NASA. I think it was like you like hyped up.
Yeah.
The NASA Coliseum. It was on Long Island.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, Nassau County?
NASA. Oh my God, I'm having a hard time. They had a project going on that was referred to as the SETI project, which was the search for extraterrestrial intelligence, I think.
Okay.
So this project, there were some people working on the project, and they realized that they were having a hard time funding all the research in the project because so much of the money had to go to like bureaucracy and corporate shit that NASA was doing.
All the overhead. Yeah.
And so they spun it off and founded what's called the SETI Institute, which has existed since November of 1984 solely to look for aliens.
Nice.
And I love this, right? Like
it's
they
great that it's a thing.
Do research. I'm using air quotes.
They just point at the sky?
They're like, there might be something out there. But their idea is, we don't just want to know if there's life in the universe. We want to know if there's intelligent life in the universe. That's their mission.
Oh. And it's weird that this had to even exist because we already know it was 17 years after Shag Harbor.
We do.
So
yeah.
The problem, it was solved.
Obviously. Yeah. So, you know, they've got some, apparently done research. It's hard to say that they've drawn any conclusions.
Oh.
They still exist. So clearly if they had found aliens, they
would have told us.
They probably would have just stopped looking, I would guess.
Yeah.
But there is some current projects that they have. I'm going to try and describe them. Best of luck to me.
Okay.
One is they have something called the Hat Creek Radio Observatory, which is the first time they've set up a number of telescopes just to look for aliens. It's called the Alien Telescope Array.
Fun.
Or the ATA.
Oh.
Just listening. It's like having a cup to the door, just trying to see what they
find. And they're just pointing this into space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just see what they find.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the Commensal Open Source Multimode Interferometer Cluster.
Ooh.
Or the COSMIC.
Nice.
They really like that.
They really went for
the catchy
it.
Names. Yeah. Which is some sort of Ethernet-based digital signal processing on the back end. So I don't know if these things are connected or if they're separate. I don't know what they do. It seems like they just listen. I don't know.
So just for something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just trying
anything that doesn't sound like space.
Yeah. How do you look for aliens? Like, it's hard.
I mean, I guess space probably just has a hum, right? Like a basic hum, and then if there's anything else?
Yeah.
Is that the idea?
I mean, possibly.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Or do they listen to see if anybody's playing that golden record or whatever that they flung out into space? Like they hear this, I don't know what's on that record, but I'm assuming Buddy Holly, and they hear that and they're like, oh, Buddy Holly's coming from the Crab Nebula, then that clearly makes sense.
That could be it.
Yeah.
They say their research efforts depend on ground and space-based telescopes, so sweeping the sky for alien transmissions, as they call it, radio telescopes, radio interferometers. They develop new instruments and technologies to look for aliens. They do some sort of lab research. I don't know where they're getting, what they're
where
analyzing
the
in that lab,
are,
but yeah. Field expeditions
Ooh.
To...
The field where I died.
Strapping X-Files. That's it. And advanced data analytics, apparently. So they're good at stats.
Okay.
But they say, like, whether looking for signs of life on the surface of Mars, under the ice of Jupiter's moon Europa, or sweeping the sky for alien transmissions. That's what they do.
So weirdly, and not to spoil this, but in the movie 2010, the sequel to 2001, there is alien life on Europa. So that's probably where they're going. They're like, well, Arthur C. Clarke said it.
They got this from a freaking movie?
I mean, probably. It's a book.
They raise a fair amount of money. So a couple things. Listeners, if you get the chance, go to SETI's website and just scroll through their board of directors or board of trustees.
Are they a trustworthy group? A
lot of weird looking people.
Yeah. A lot of squirrely white guys would be my guess.
It's very, a lot of, I would say 60% squirrely white guys. Mm-hmm. Some random women and minorities, but mostly squirrely white guys.
Yeah.
Just real crazy looking people. But on the board is Obama's deputy director of NASA.
Oh.
And she was like, so like she must know something, right?
I guess.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, this is a government institute, right? Or no?
It's a not-for-profit. Yeah. So it came, it spun it out of NASA, but yeah, it's now a not-for-profit. It's separate.
Yeah.
I do want to talk a little bit about, I'm going to need to find it. So they have three basic centers. There's their research center, which is the Carl Sagan Center.
Nice.
You know, Carl Sagan.
He was big on it in extraterrestrials.
He was, yeah. Good call at the Fox Mulder Center, I'm just saying. A center for education and a center for outreach where they advertise what they've done and get people excited. So the research center has what is like one science council. So it's there's like a director of the research center, and then there's a bunch of people who are considered the council. And they are aligned to the council based on their topics.
Okay.
And I want to share some of these topics with you.
This is the broken down version of what we're doing.
Yeah, this
here at
is
the SETI Institute.
This is the council, and we said, okay, we just need experts from all of the important areas.
Sure.
And we need two people who are astrobiology and biogeosciences.
Okay.
So that's important. Two people who are astronomy and astrophysics. Makes sense. Some guy who is exoplanets, which I think is planets that are really far away.
Okay.
Two people who are planetary exploration. Some science council just advisors, and one guy who is the advisor for remote, but not alone. And I don't know what that means, but I do appreciate. And look, he is real creepy looking, right? Like, I know, listeners, you can't see that, but, like, he looks remote, but not alone. You know what I'm saying?
I think that guy works remote alone.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't think he's interacting with a lot of the team members.
No.
Yeah.
So I enjoy it, but, like, it's just people to help out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's most of what I had on SETI. They started in 1984. They've been a nonprofit. The guy, two people founded it. The one guy died, and the other woman is still on the board of trustees. And they do research to try and find aliens, which is cool.
And effectively, they have found what?
I don't think anything.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah. So 40 years, nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, I'm sure the people who work at SETI would disagree with this assessment.
They found something.
Something.
Yeah.
But I mean, we still don't have an answer, which leads me to a game that I want to play, which is I want you to tell me what I think, whether I think aliens exist, and I want to tell you whether you think aliens exist. Where am I on the alien question?
0% chance. That would be my guess. My guess is you do not believe whatsoever.
Really?
Yeah, you don't believe in much of anything that's not terrestrial and observable. You're not that kind of person.
Something things that can be programmed, categorized, and easily referenced.
Yes. So I would say then the stretch that you would believe there's intelligent alien life. No, I think you would believe there's something. The universe is too big. There's got to be something.
Yeah.
But beyond, but like that, they're somewhere that they've got their own like, you know, a society of thinking individual. No, I don't believe you believe that.
Interesting.
That's my guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that you fully on board.
Oh, yeah. Correct.
I would say you didn't quite get me right. Like, no. You got closer to the end. Universe is too big. I think there might be, like, a planet with a society out there. That could happen. There's no way they're trying to find us, though. Like, I think that's a very Earthnocentric way to look at it, but like they could be out there, but they don't give a shit about us.
Why would that be though?
Just because the universe is too big. So the fact that it happened on our planet and could never happen anywhere else in this, again, mind-blowingly infinite place, like that just doesn't feel quite right to me.
Yeah. But why wouldn't they be looking for us? Isn't there just a general curiosity? Isn't that just the nature of having thought?
I don't think they would think about... I think thought in society could take a very different... could look very different, something different than we could even conceptualize if it happens in a whole different part of the universe. Like, they probably don't have logic in the same way. Like, I think they could operate in a way that's very different from us. And I think it's, again, self-centered, whatever, that's not the right word for it, but like, whatever the Earth version of, you know, ethnocentric
sure.
of us to think that they are just like exploring and trying to find us right. and that they're going to come to us. Like,
odds are they're too busy battling the gas monsters of their own planet.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that makes some sense. I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't know. It seems to me that like there should be more evidence of something by now. I mean, it seems like in recent years, in the pandemic when just nobody cared, like the government was coming out saying like there were aliens, but not really. They were just sort of like, there was clearly more that they hadn't told us.
Yeah.
And then I think just as a feel good thing, like, hey, we know if things are going bad. Here's this alien story.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
it never was anything much. It was always, you know, some hokum.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. I tend to be more on the side of like believing there's something. I don't think we're ever gonna like have that. Like, I don't think that's coming. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that that's something worth, you know, looking forward to.
Yep.
But, you know, at the same time, to be like there's nothing, that doesn't seem right either. So, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I think it's, you got to look at it in terms of like, or like life as we know it, like actual organic, you know, like oxygen-based life. I don't know about that. Like, that seems hard to believe.
Yeah.
But if there's water that exists virtually anywhere else, there has to be some sort of life, right?
Totally. Like,
that's sort of how it works, I think. So,
and
again, I'm not a science major.
Yeah, right.
I don't understand why any of this is.
Samesies. You
know, so.
But, like, could there be life forms who can, like, operate and have social and societal constructs that aren't oxygen-based or, like, are so different from us that we can't even imagine what that would be? Yeah, I think that's probably true.
But do you think on one of these theoretical distant worlds there is a, you know, intergalactic equivalent to it happened one year that somewhere there's two schmoes who, you know, they've been together a long time, and then next thing you know they were locked in an apartment nonstop for a couple years. Do you think they then created their own it happened one year?
Beep, boop, boop.
Beep, boop, boop.
I think there are galactic versions of it happened one year. Probably other people in Illinois who have done this. Like, I don't think this is so unique that no one else in the universe is doing it. I think other people in Chicago are probably doing it.
I would say, look, I think at last, the last number I ever heard was there's something like a half a million podcasts, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not saying ours is necessarily unique.
No,
but I would say as far as like a married couple who never before showed any significant interest in podcasts.
Sure.
Or honestly creating anything together.
Yeah, that's true.
Including children.
Yeah.
That we were just like, you know, to do this. I would say the odds of that with our same format and our basic same topic, having done, you know, a scripted episode where the woman played Bud Selig. I think we're one of one.
I would bet women playing Bud Selig in any sort of piece of art.
Very small.
The only one.
Probably, right? Yeah. Like, there's a chance. Like, maybe, like, there's a theater group somewhere.
Sure.
Tacoma, Washington.
Yeah.
And they're putting on an all-female play version of the 1994 baseball strike. Because let's face it, what else is Bud Selig really
who
is in?
It? Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a chance.
Yeah.
But I would say it's slim.
Very, very slim.
So it happened one year, one of one.
Which is more likely? There's a woman somewhere in the world who is alive today, who has played Bud Selig in some piece of art, or aliens.
Yeah, the Bud Selig thing.
Yeah, right? that
seems more like it's. I would say Bud Selig's probably not a famous enough figure to have like a vast number of people who've portrayed him.
Yeah,
like you would think of almost any famous-ish person from the 20th century. Like, we'll just go with that. You know, there's at least been like a movie or a TV movie or something. So there's probably something that Bud Selig popped up in as a character, but maybe not. Like, he's not really that, you know, that but big a figure.
It would have to be something that was gender swapping.
Right,
too,
right. That's
which I think
the
makes
other
it
part.
Hard. Yeah. I'm going to go with aliens.
Yeah, aliens more than likely.
Yeah.
I wonder if we could do this sort of research and even find this out. Probably not, but listeners, if you're out there And you, at some point, with your dumb buddies, you put on like a black box theater production of Seelig! Exclamation point. And you were like, but we have nobody who can fit this role except for Grammy. And then, you know, next thing, you brought in
a lady to play Bud Seelig.
A lady to play Bud Seelig. Just let us know.
We want to know.
I very much want to know. If there's a tape of that, I'd like to see that. If that's floating around on the YouTubes.
And look, it doesn't matter how good your Grammy was. I kicked her ass.
Sarah's Bud Seelig. A masterpiece in gender-swapped baseball characterization.
12 out of 10 stars.
Yeah. In a show that already had Munchak playing Marge Schott.
Oh, which is the greatest.
We were really gender-swapping hard in that show.
Yeah.
Well, I think that about wraps it up.
Yeah.
I'd say you and I shouldn't do too many science episodes.
Science Corner.
I don't think the people are getting the correct information.
I want to congratulate you on how well you described the Nemesis star. That was very clear.
I tried to boil it down to the most basic elements.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Other than the fact that you brought me up that it might be called the Oost Cloud.
Yeah.
And then brought me down that it's actually called the Oot.
The
Oot.
Oort.
Oort.
There's an R in there.
Oort.
Dave Oort.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry. No, and I am sorry to that Oort. I'm sure he's got relatives who are like, what the hell, man? He didn't get a whole theoretical cloud named after him for nothing.
We fixed it, guys. No letters, please.
All right. So if you were great Danish physicist Dave Oort, what would his voice sound like?
Oh, my God.
Here for the people. And do it as the outro to the show. You know how we have like those outros?
Do we?
Yeah. We don't usually do them live. Those are canned outros, but...
Pip pip everybody, thank you for attending this lecture on the Oort Cloud, which I discovered and named. Thank you.
Yeah, that was good.
It's not great.
No.
Voices.
It was all right. It was different. It didn't sound like your other two voices.
That was me trying to do a Nordic accent.
Yeah, okay. Close.
It was kind of...
Yeah.
You
threw in some weird Britishisms.
I was this close to beep booping, so it was also kind of like a robot. It was not great.
So now, can you give me the "This has been it happened 1 year, but as a robot"?
I was hoping that I was picturing that impression of the music playing under it, but now I realize we've gone on too long.
Yeah. Well, I could. Well, it didn't. It also didn't close the show correctly. It closed the discussion.
Oh.
Closed the discussion well. Yeah. But now you have to. Let's close out the show.
If you could stretch the theme music back to when my impression started, I'd
probably.
It.
I could try. Do you want? We could just like surprise people with like the theme music's going to start right now. And now it's playing, and we're leading up to you doing your robot impression.
Yeah.
But you gotta do it quick, because we don't have that much time.
Enjoy cutting around this.
Yeah.
Beep, boop, boop. This has been, it happened, 1 year. Thanks.
This is why we don't do it live.
I couldn't remember what else to say.
Thanks, everybody. This has been, it happened 1 year. Please follow us on all the random social media sites that exist and rate us wherever you possibly can. That'd be great!